to extend a greeting to each one here. May God's grace and peace rest upon this place tonight. Dan already alluded to it. I was glad for a couple songs because these services are a little heavier than they should be. but it's real. It really is. It's, you know, there's no way of getting around that. But let me just read a few verses and then we can maybe communicate a few of these things of maybe some of my observation and journey in my life. And so it's been over 31 years now and I survived, so you all be good. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to read the first 6 verses there. First Corinthians 4, 1 through 6, it reads like this. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So it's kind of a few different thoughts here in this scripture, but the one I want to highlight is found in verse 2. It says there, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And I'd like to dwell on that a bit this evening. And, you know, if you go back here and just observe the context there, they had some issues. They were addressed about their carnality. For one said, I'm a Paul, another, I'm Apollos, and are ye not carnal? And so as we think about the, your endeavors here this evening, it is about the kingdom of God. And it's not who we are. It's not our church. There's a verse in Psalm 127. It says, except the Lord build the house, we're going to labor in vain that build it. And so there's a lot of these things, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. But there's some perspectives here I'd like for us to think about. So this evening, you have a planned ordination coming this weekend. And so sometimes when I think about the thought then in light of that with stewardship is, you know, maybe it takes a little bit of a turn in our responsibilities. That's how I look at it. It's not like the end of the world. And, you know, I didn't ask Dan, maybe you did. You could have put an ad in the paper and said, we need a pastor. And people do that. I would say majority of them might use that approach. But I'd like for us to turn to Acts chapter 6. And I just like to look at a verse there that I feel gives us some insight into a better way than putting an ad in a paper. It says in Acts chapter 6, I'll just start there for the sake of time in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they had a need here. I need to read verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men honest of an honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So in this context here, there's a real need there. And they chose, it said 7 men. But the phrase I want us to think about, choose you among yourselves, that's really important. I think that's the part that is the key to this. Choose you out, look ye out among yourselves. It's someone in your midst. And it is kind of astounding some of the phrases it uses here. And And I'm sure you looked at some of those other verses back in Timothy and all that. And sometimes when I read those, I'm like, well, I have no idea how I ever made it into this, because there's just no way that I meet all those qualifications. But this is what I want to say to all of us. You know, there's one thing about that seems it's a temptation for us, and that is, well, the preachers have this standard, and I'm glad I'm not one of those, because mine's not there. But let's remember, when the Bible gives direction, it's like we should all be that, and we should all strive for it. There's no one exempt, and so let's consider that. And here, one of the callings here was to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And you know, I thought this way: if I would have taken heed to that verse, I probably could have avoided lots of difficulties in my 30 years of journeying in this. But that may be what it is. We're also here to learn. Because this is not talking about unusual people. It's talking about normal people that are led by the Holy Spirit. Not sure what time I got up here. I need to keep that in mind here. And we want to be a people that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about that. And recently, I was just looking at these verses here, and I was kind of struck by just the simplicity of that. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 15, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And then here it gives us some direction: "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit." And this is then in verse 19, it shows us what that looks like: speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So that's at least one part of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, or to be filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks. And, you know, we can do that in ordination. It's not wrong. And maybe I'll just share a little bit. The culture I come from, and I know that you're a little bit more Mennonite than I would have been, but it is kind of sad. Like, in our culture, an ordination was more like a funeral. I'm sorry I have to say that. And that's just wrong. It just is. It's just wrong. And I remember the brothers that came to help us when we were going through some difficulty some years ago, and they just made it a passion that, listen, let's look at this as an opportunity for somebody to serve in a different capacity. That's all. Not something that's going to, you know, and I'm not sure where we got all of that, but maybe in our culture there was some changes there. But let's praise God that you have a need. And so I just want to encourage you as a brotherhood, like what a blessing that there's a need for it. And so let's think about it from that perspective, because it certainly can be done in various ways. And as, to my understanding, if there's more than one, you plan to use the lot, and I think that's fine. And so anyhow, maybe I'll just give you, while I'm talking about these things, the things that I have heard in my journey. So I've heard things like, well, the New Testament, you don't really ever read about. They used a lot. Oh, okay, well, that's one way to look at it. Maybe if you're all really that spiritual, you'll just have one. But you know what I've heard more recently? I've heard, and this man is older than I am, he said, "I don't think you're giving God a chance if you don't have a lot." Well, I thought, that's interesting. I never heard that one either. The point I want to make, there's not just one right way to do it. Let's have an open mind. And I think the lot has served like our communities well. But the point I want to make is there's not one spiritual and not spiritual, because this is what I believe. Personally, I feel that in a brotherhood this size, there should be more than one that qualifies. And you just need one, so then you just choose one. And one of the other things that we find ourselves I feel maybe getting stuck in a little bit is the gifts and the talents, and certainly that's part of it. Some of those can also be exercised. But what I want us to think about is I think there's even a higher calling than just that. I just want to say this lest I forget it. You know, if there is a lot, I just want to make to the appeal, this appeal to you as a church. It's not one is chosen, another one rejected. Please. I have seen people that weren't chosen go through some really difficulties, and it's a wrong concept we have. It's just not necessary. So let's prepare ourselves for that. It isn't that one is in and one is out. And I'm not sure right where that comes from. And it is an emotional thing. I don't want to downplay that part of you. Depending how this all turns out, and you know, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit. But it is not like it's not an emotional journey. To be involved in an ordination, and you try to make sure you put yourself out there to be used in whatever way God wants to, and sometimes, you know, things maybe don't turn out the way maybe others might expect. But we all have a calling, and one of the things I remember in a conversation, this was years ago. We all have a calling, and God's timing is kind of amazing how it works, and maybe how it even interlocks with our way of thinking. So I remember years ago, and I think it was soon after maybe I was ordained, there was a brother came to me, or I heard a conversation. I'm not sure if he was just talking to me, but he told his wife before they were married that God spoke to him, and he felt he's going to be a preacher. I thought, wow, I don't think I ever had a conversation like that with my wife. But so I found that interesting. So coming from my culture, that you just don't talk about things like that. But this brother, I think he was listening to God, and he told his wife that. So there was an ordination. Do you think he was ordained? Not the first time. Not the second time. And I'm not sure if it was the third or the fourth time. But the point I'm making is, just because God even gives us sometimes these inspirations, I believe it's an inspiration, and I don't think it's wrong. It's just that his timing isn't always the way we think. And so let's just have an open mind as we go through this, so that we don't have pains that maybe we could avoid by properly processing this. So what I want to highlight this evening for a little bit here is the thought back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, "Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful," rather than just the thing of you know, the highest calling is to be ordained a minister. It's not true. It's not the way God operates. Here some time ago, I had kind of had something that unfolded on a Sunday morning that kind of was a teaching lesson for me. So we were on the way to church, and it was one of those snowy mornings, and I'm one of the trustees, but it's not really my responsibility to shovel all the snow, because I'm coming to one of the older ones. But my wife's like, "Well, who's going to be around to do this?" And I said, "You know, there's some little boys there. I'm expecting they're going to have shovels and they're going to be doing this." And sure enough, we weren't there very long. There's like four or five of them out there, and they were just having a good old time doing it. And so when I preached that day, I asked them, I said, "Did you think in God's economy that's as important as preaching a sermon?" Of course they weren't even thinking of that, but it is. In reality, the way God calculates, it's just as important to shovel the walks at church as it is to preach a sermon. Let's just get that straight. And one of the reasons that you say, "Well, where do you get that from?" You know, I think it's good for us occasionally to think about the way God thinks and how contrary it is to man. And one of the examples in the scriptures that I don't know if I can even interpret or wrap my mind around, but it is where the widow gave two mites, and Jesus said she gave more than they all. So what for calculation is that? It just helps us to understand God's economy in the way he measures things. So we're here this evening looking at this verse, "Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful." That is the important part. It doesn't matter what our calling is, whether you're cleaning off the walks or whether you're preaching a sermon, but that we're found faithful. And I will say that probably if we're faithful in that, there's a good probability that that those boys are going to get a higher calling than maybe just doing the, just shoveling the snow the rest of their life too, if we're faithful in that. But let's think about that. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And this is in the context of the ministers of Christ. And it talks about the mysteries of God. And, you know, we could ask the question, if I would ask you the question, what is it talking about here? What kind of mystery is this? Does another verse come to you in the scripture somewhere talks about these mysteries and what that could be connected to? Anybody have a thought? One of the things it says here, in I think it's in Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about the mystery. Maybe I should just turn there. It has to do with the mystery. And one of the things is, in verse 6, it says that the Gentiles, maybe I should go back further. I'm not sure where all that verse was. Whereby when we read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, verse 4, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy prophets and apostles by the Spirit. And here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So one of the mysteries that unfolded in the New Testament or in the New Covenant is that the Gentiles have been grafted in. It's a mystery. And I think that's what he's making reference to here. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And in verse 1, it talks about the stewards of the mysteries of God. So that's one of them, that the Gentiles. And so it's kind of exciting to speak and be called to communicate that. So we are called to be stewards of the mysteries of God. But it doesn't just stop there. You know, stewards has to do with not just the brothers on this side, but the young women and the ladies and the children. We're all called to be a steward. And so what is a steward? A steward is not an owner. He's an overseer, a manager trusted to handle the resources of another. And so here it's talking about the ministers of Christ. So we don't own the church. It's not ours. The promises are ours, but we are stewards of the mysteries that God gives us. One of the interesting words that came out, the word steward, was an under oarsman. Now, I don't really know what that all means, but I'm guessing it has something to do with a ship, you know, the way they used to, you know, navigate through waters. And it would seem to me an under oarsman would be somebody that's not even control of the ship. They just simply do what somebody else tells them to do. And you know, that is the definition of a steward. We get our direction from someone else. We are not the one in charge. So it's in the sense of receiving a command from a greater source. And one of those is the mysteries of God. The Gentiles are fellow heirs. And verse 8, I think there it said, it talked about the unsearchable riches there. So faithful steward. There's lots of verses we could look at here, but one of those is found in 2 Timothy chapter 7, 8. The responsibility we have as a steward of the minister of the, to be a minister of the gospel, is God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So we're talking about being stewards now here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it's giving us the encouragement that we don't have to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so we have a responsibility. We're stewards of God's mysteries, and they can be varied. And here it encourages us not to be ashamed, not to be fear, but of power, because we have the resources. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. It's of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says, be instant in season, out of season. In other words, that means that part of this calling is to be ready anytime.
And even in convenient places, you know, sometimes that is part of the calling. Faithfulness and trustworthy is part of a steward. Faithfulness, and I looked at some of these rapidly here, but I came across this thought, and it took me a little to process this one. When you think about a steward, you're talking about somebody that's faithful, has faithfulness and trustworthy. And then it says, faithfulness over success. The measure of a good steward is not talent, fame, or success, but trustworthiness and consistency. I'm like, is that seriously? You know, somebody can have all the gifts and all the ability to do things, but if they're not ever there to do it, what good is that? And you know, if you're a preacher, if you're at this end of the responsibility of a brotherhood, people that are faithful and trustworthy, it goes a long way. I don't care if it's just showing up. And you know, it happens in the little things. And I know that, you know, years ago we started doing like monthly brothers' meetings. We have it every other month now. And then sometimes, you know, I had a challenge with especially my boys. Well, what are you going to talk about? It's not necessary. I go, yeah, it is. Just your presence means something. Seriously. It really does. It goes a long way. And sometime in the middle of that trustworthiness and faithfulness, God will give responsibilities that help all of us out. And so, yeah, faithfulness not in just the big things, not only the mysteries of God, but what about the little things in life? Like I already said, like church activities that are going. And one of the things I want to say about we as preachers, sometimes we can have this underlying thing that, well, I mean, somebody else can do that. I kind of do my share. No, we should be there. We should be there to work projects. Not everybody is, and I'm not saying they have to, but we should be. Church activities that are going on, work projects, are we there? Our influence has a lot to do with our example. And I kind of feel like we're going through something, maybe you're not faced with it so much down here, but there's a little bit of an attitude going that it's just kind of easy to miss church. You know, that was one of the things that I told you something about my culture in ordinations I think they had wrong. But one of the things about that culture, though, is you just didn't miss church. And then maybe sometimes we should have stayed home when we were so sick we probably shouldn't have been there. But I think there's a really good balance. I don't think we should, you know, take the attitude of what's the big deal? Because it is a big deal. And I know that the COVID thing kind of took me on a bit of a journey. And, you know, recently we were on this discussion because it's coming up here. Was that just this last week maybe it happened? But we had weekend meetings on a weekend. And the next Sunday we didn't have church we got together in our shops and so on then after a while. But I try to figure out, like, if we would just quit like some people have, you know, like, where would we end up at? And some of the reasons churches are closing is because the people haven't started coming again. So what I'm saying is we need each other to make it profitable and functioning. And so one of the things that we're communicating here in this scripture is it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And it's not just in the mysteries of God, but in the little things. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus taught something there in that parable there. In verse 10, he says, "And he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" That's pretty consistent, isn't it? You can just watch that one there, and it's like, you know, people that don't take really good care of little things, they take the same attitude with big things or vice versa. And so we're here to say good stewards of the little things. Just do the things you're called to do because that is what God wants. And we could look at some examples. One of the examples is in Daniel chapter 6. Maybe I'll just make reference to that in verses 4 and 5 there. They sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. That was these presidents that were jealous at his, his authority and just his, they were trying to overthrow him. But it says then there, that the thought is there that they could not find any fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither could they find anything, any error or fault in him. And it had to do with his commitment to the kingdom is the phrase it uses there. It says they sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find any fault because he was faithful. And, you know, at that phase in his journey, it wasn't like he was doing big things. He was just faithful in that which God had called him to do. And that's really, that's our calling. Regardless of how this ordination turns out, it's for all of us here. So I just want us to be mindful of filling in wherever we're called to, regardless of how the ordination turns out or who might be called to that. So I just put down like this. Look ye out among you someone that is faithful in the little things. And another example would be Joseph. He was, you know, he was a normal human being just like we are. And one of the things that has amazed me about Joseph in the recent years more so is, Joseph could have really abused his authority. Like he was there at Potiphar's house and he caught the attention of his master to the point that finally he just said he didn't even know what he had. He just entrusted it all to Joseph. But I know there's a big thing nowadays kind of floating around. It says when someone is abused, they take it out on other people, which happens. But let's think about Joseph. Like it was pretty dramatic what he experienced from his brothers, and he was thrown in a pit and, you know, the things that took place there. So he really was in a place where he could have abused his authority, but he was found faithful. And not only did he do it in Potiphar's house, he was put in prison. And there again, he was found faithful. And the thing I like about that scripture there in Genesis 39, it says that, and great grace was upon him, or it says that, or God's goodness rested upon him. And I think those two go together. When we're faithful in the little things, it opens up heaven over us for God to give us direction and be an inspiration, and God giving us something more. And certainly, as I look at the story of Joseph, I don't think he would have been ready to be the second to the ruler if he would have went through some of his encounters he did in life. So that is a good example of someone that was faithful and trustworthy. Choose you among yourselves someone that's faithful and trustworthy. And I put down one who learns from mistakes. You know what? We're not always going to get it right. Like sometimes we have this, you know, this motivation. And I don't think it's all wrong that, you know, we're going to finally do this right because we observe these other preachers that don't seem to know what they're doing in a sense. But it's just not a good attitude to have. But that's okay. Like most of us, our success didn't come by doing everything right as much as learning from the mistakes we make in life. It's just part of being faithful and a good steward. Another thing I put down here, whoever's called here, and not just whoever's called, but for all of us, be a team player. This is really important. Again, I think it's more important that we have a sense of our commitment to flow than it is with all the gifts and talents we may have. So be a team player, and I just put down like this, it doesn't matter who scores the most runs, or does it? You know what? This gets among preachers too. Yeah, it does, for real. And it doesn't matter how long we're in this. And in fact, I even observe sometimes it can happen when you get older and you realize that someone else is maybe in the spotlight more than you are. But this is something we need to crucify to the cross, because it doesn't matter who scores the most runs. It doesn't. This is a team thing. And so just a reminder, it's part of our stewardship is to engage and do what we can to make flowing together. because where the Holy Spirit is pleased to be in the midst of is a place that's flowing. Just a few more thoughts here in closing. A quote I came across, the Spirit like a dove flees the realms of noise and strife. Right? Like if there's chaos in the home and everybody's screaming, and it just doesn't really feel like it's a place where you just get a lot of rest, right? And sometimes it happens, and then we try to do what we can. But let me just think about this again. The Spirit, like a dove, flees the realms of noise and strife. So let's do what we can to flow together. And that's just have an open heart and allow ourselves to be taught and even to be honest with each other. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, be clothed with humility. And the reason is because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So as you go through this week and everything that's involved and this evening and, let's just do the best we can to have an attitude of appreciation, praise, because God wants to build his church. There's going to be one when he comes back. The question usually is, are we going to be part of that? Because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. We have that promise. And so, you know, like it's a blessing that there's a need there. So let's have an attitude of praise and just to commit all things to him. And I just want to say, may God richly and abundantly bless this brotherhood in your endeavors as you go through this to choose someone among you. Maybe we'll just have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks for your goodness. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would help each one of us to live it out in the best that we know how. It isn't that we always get it right, but we do have a desire to honor you in all things. And this evening, I pray that you would help each one of us to have an attitude of being a faithful steward, regardless of our calling and what you would have for us. I pray that you would move among the brotherhood here and just give clear direction of who you want to assist, Dan and Kurt. And I just pray that, Lord, it could just be just something that we could all look back and say, hitherto has the Lord been very good and gracious to us. And so we ask your Spirit to just work in our midst and give peace and grace so that we could have calmness of heart and your purposes could be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.